You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A lot remains unresolved for many people affected by Hurricane Sandy a year after the storm. But if you walk around certain parts of New York, you'll see noticeable changes. Joining us now is WNYC's Matthew Sherman. He has done extensive coverage of the storm's aftermath, and I'm pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. Thanks for having me.
I'm sure many of our listeners have been hearing your reports, but we can get to the story behind the story in some cases. In the aftermath of the storm, many wondered how the city would change and whether planners would take a new direction. Over the past decade, there's been an explosion of development along the waterfront. Did Sandy slow any of that down?
I would say it might have stopped some of that development for a couple of years. I think that it would be maybe a little distasteful for developers to go into some of these new areas right now and start building new buildings. They might not quite have the market for it. But from what I've heard, they still plan to do that. It might just take a few years for people's appetite for waterfront living to come back.
There's also the whole matter of flood insurance. I'd imagine that slows some people down.
Although it's actually better for new developments that start from scratch. The trick about flood insurance is that it's not that expensive if you take certain measures, basically, if you build above the expected floodplain. And actually, everything since about 1983 built in the city has had to conform to those sorts of rules. So in that sense, people who built in Williamsburg, the new buildings along the shore there, they are in a floodplain, but they largely survived the storm because they were high enough above the water.
But not some of the other areas.
Well, some
Dumbo
of the...
Dumbo was really hit bad.
That's right.
Parts of Greenpoint were hit really bad.
Exactly.
Long Island City, of course, Staten Island.
The difference is how long have those buildings been around? And, of course, in New York City, you have a lot of old buildings. I was just reading that in the 100-year flood zone, about 85% of those structures are actually built before the modern building codes. So you have Dumbo, you have the old buildings in Greenpoint, and they did a lot worse, of course, because they were low to the ground.
Mayor Bloomberg's post-Sandy resiliency plan, the SIRR, calls for an embrace and commitment to the waterfront. Were many people surprised to see the proposals for Seaport City after the storm?
They were. I actually was doing a little reporting on that job, on that idea before the announcement came out, and I asked a couple of people, prominent business people, in fact, what do you think of this idea of building a whole new development in the East River, sort of modeled on Battery Park City, but on the east side near the South Street Seaport. And they just thought it was silly to put stuff in the water, right? The whole idea is to get out of the water. Since then, oddly enough, that idea seems to have taken hold to some extent. I saw during the mayoral debates last week, both Bill de Blasio and Joe Loda, the Democratic and Republican nominees, both seem to think it's actually a reasonable idea.
Well, how much has Sandy played a role in the political debates in this mayoral campaign?
Not very much. It's funny. It's a type of I really think that Sandy will change New York City in a real significant way over the long run, in the same way that, let's say, the September 11th attacks changed New York City. But the fact is that if you're going after people's votes, the number of people that Sandy really directly affected is a pretty small percentage of the population. So if you are a candidate running for mayor, if you talk about schools or transportation or taxes, you're just going to get a lot more votes for that.
The SIRR also includes a number of proposals to protect the city from future storm surges. Have any of those proposals been built?
Well, I wouldn't say – I don't think that anything's actually been built in terms of storm surge protections. I'm told that later this year they will have come a long way to ordering and putting into place temporary flood walls for Hospital Row on the east side. That's probably one of the first real changes we will see.
But not renewing the wetlands. What about sand dune reinforcement and permanent storm walls?
The Army Corps of Engineers has been, that's a good point, has been dumping more and more sand onto our beaches, replenishing the sand that was lost to Sandy and then some. Something on the order of 1.5 million cubic yards was lost to Sandy. I think they're planning on putting back about 3 million.
And where do they get that sand? They just dredge the water, the sand that has gone back into the water?
Basically, right. They have machines that will dig down into the ocean, pump it up onto the beach.
Do we have any idea of how much these things are costing us, and the proposals that have not yet gone into effect will cost? And who's going to pick up the price tag?
The entire SIRR, the mayor's rebuilding plan, is supposed to cost on the order of $20 billion and then some. Something like Seaport City would cost something on top of that, for example. Some of that money would come from the federal government, from the Sandy Aid Bill, the $50 to $60 billion, depending on how you count it, that was passed by Congress in January.
Well, right now we're entering the next hurricane season. If a major hurricane struck New York City next week, would City Hall have new equipment and tools at its disposal to keep the city dry?
It would have some. For example, the city told us last week that it had more boats, police boats, rescue boats. The problem during Sandy was that the police department had metal boats. And if you're navigating through floodwaters and there are downed power lines, it's not a very good idea to do that. You're going to electrocute yourself or the people that you save. And so the NYPD didn't do that much rescuing by boats.
You mentioned that there are temporary walls being put up to protect the hospitals and power plants because so many of them are on the waterfront. Has there been any discussion of moving those facilities? Or we know that temporary walls don't always work, as we saw with Katrina in New Orleans.
There hasn't been a lot of talk about moving anything much at all, frankly. There is a little bit of a buyout program in Staten Island that's underway for homeowners and also a couple of sites in New Jersey where people are being bought out. The city's plan and state's proposals would strengthen some of the building requirements for healthcare facilities in the future, but nothing would prohibit you from siting a hospital, let's say, in a flood zone.
Now, you mentioned Staten Island. Many people have been arguing over the years that it's not a good idea to build along the waterfront, partly because it also destroys wetlands. Now, okay, new construction might be built to rise above the floodplain, but that really won't change the wetland situation.
It won't. There are regulations about which wetlands you can build in and to what degree and whether you can replace wetlands elsewhere. And that's actually handled by the state. And I have to admit, I don't know those regulations too well. But we're talking, for the most part, we're talking about areas, Bloomberg's waterfront development plans, for example, Williamsburg, Greenpoint, Stapleton and Staten Island, Coney Island. We're talking about places that aren't really considered wetlands. So that issue isn't so great there. It's really a question of how much of a buffer zone do you want to give the ocean?
I'm talking with WNYC's Matthew Sherman, who has been covering the post-Sandy situation throughout the metropolitan area. Has the city's approach to disaster preparation and response changed much?
As I mentioned, the police boats.
What about the shelter system?
The shelter system hasn't really changed that much. The one thing that the city has done is replenish the stockpiles that were exhausted, and it has also actually added certain types of items such as baby cribs that it didn't think that it would need in the general population shelters. But they're still working on plans to house people for long periods of time because Sandy evacuated people for much longer than anyone was prepared to accommodate them in shelters.
I remember reports that you made at the time from Brighton Beach and elsewhere where people refused to evacuate because they thought they would just brave their way through. Is that still an attitude, or do you think that people have learned their lesson?
People probably have. Those who actually lived through the storm and got flood damage in their houses will take the evacuation order seriously, but we have a constant new population that's moving into these new zones that don't have that experience. And behavioral economists that I've spoken with tend to say people under-respond to risk unless they've personally been through a disaster like this.
So are people and businesses taking preparations seriously, any more seriously than they did before?
Some of them definitely are. It was definitely a wake-up call. If you have money and are in a position to make your house stronger, you are in a much better position to do that. I met a number of people in Lower Manhattan where office buildings were flooded that are buying their own temporary flood walls to put around their own little buildings. So we'll have perhaps a whole neighborhood, a whole city full of castles with their own walls around them when the next flood comes. But there are still plenty of people out there who either don't have the money to take mitigation measures or don't really think there'll be another one quite as bad as Sandy.
And the city knew that subway lines would be hit hard, try to do as much as they could. But they're still undergoing repairs now, a year later. Do we know how long it'll be before they're really up and running as they were before?
Well, one of the last pieces to go back into place may well be the South Ferry subway station at the Battery, where they reverted to the old subway station where you have to be in the first five cars, if you recall that. And that will be a number of years before that comes back. But in terms of that's just getting things back to normal. The real question is how long will it take before the MTA actually prepares itself for another big storm? And that, too, is probably a matter of years, several years.
Has Governor Christie been hurt by the poor planning in New Jersey before the storm hit? That hasn't come up during this campaign, has it?
He's so far ahead that it hasn't really figured into the campaign there either. No, his popularity is quite high.
After the storm, there was a lot of discussion about climate change, but there hasn't been much progress at a national level on this issue. Has the city taken climate change into account when it plans for the next storm?
I would say the city and the state, too, have thought a lot about climate change, are thinking about how to prepare for it. But interestingly enough, the plans put forth so far don't really take that into account.
Well, aren't there predictions that the water will continue to rise the next time? It will might hit a lot harder than it did the last time.
That's right. Maybe 2 to 4 feet over the next 70 years or so is what the experts predict for climate change. And so what that means is a less strong storm than Sandy will have just as much of an impact, or another Sandy will have even greater impact.
Is there a noticeable difference in how New York and New Jersey have approached the recovery?
I would say it's interesting. Right now, the big complaint is that a package of money from the federal government, about $4.5 billion total for our region, hasn't really been getting to the homeowners that need it the most. And, for example, New York City has so far really just given one check to one person in the entire city. New Jersey actually has been more successful at getting money out the door, about $150 million, but it's done so in a very different way, which is to give small checks, about $10,000 each, to a lot of people just for staying put, just for being along the coast. So he got a lot, Governor Christie got a lot of heat from environmentalists for taking such a stay where you are approach. On the other hand, he's gotten money out the door much quicker than Governor Cuomo or Mayor Bloomberg.
We've just gone through the summer season. Did we see much of an effect on the amusement parks at Coney Island and Rockaway that were hit by the storm?
Coney Island was back, if not entirely back in operation, very close to it. Rockaway Beach was operating. However, the boardwalk at the Rockaways has not been rebuilt.
Matthew Sherman has been covering the aftermath of Sandy. I imagine this doesn't end with the first anniversary.
No, we'll probably slow down our coverage somewhat, but it's really amazing exactly because it's 1 year is just a little bit too short a window from which to judge the city's response. So we're going to keep at it.
And what kind of feedback have you been getting from listeners?
Well, they appreciate the fact that we've been at this story and we've been you know, knocking away at it, lots of different angles consistently. I would say at least a story a week, if not more.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me, Leonard.
Matthew Sherman of WNYC's Crack News Department.